Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is the 11th tape in the series entitled The 10 Building Blocks of Creation, recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning. We are holding in the beginning of Perek Gimel of Tanya, the third chapter. In the previous chapter, the Alter Rebbe explained the essence of the second soul that exists within every single Jew, defined as the Nefesh HaLekiz, the divine soul, as being a Chelik Aleikami Ma'amamish, truly a part of Hashem above. The Alter Rebbe went on to describe the meaning of this, the significance of this, and how this exists within every single Jew, albeit the varied levels and ranks that exist within the souls themselves. In this Perek, in Perek Gimel, the Alter Rebbe proceeds to discuss the personality, the persona and the character of this soul, the faculties it possesses, the attributes it contains, the modes through which it expresses itself. Let's see inside. Perek Gimel. V'hine, now, kol b'chino madregim mishalish elu nefesh ruach u'neshama. Each of these three distinctions and grades, nefesh ruach and neshama, klulo me'eser b'chinois, consists of 10 faculties. As mentioned already in the middle of Perek Beis, we speak about every Jew possessing a neshama, a divine soul. More specifically, it can be subdivided into three ranks and grades. One level defined as nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So when we speak in general terms, you say every Yid has two nefashes. One is a divine soul, and one is a natural, vital soul, a nefesh abahamis chiyunis. But each one of them is generally subdivided into three aspects called nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Briefly, we spoke of this more at length in the middle of Perek Beis. Nefesh is the functional aspect of the soul. Ruach is the emotional, passionate dimension of the soul. And neshama is the intellectual, cognitive experience of the soul. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here that every one of these three levels of the divine soul, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, consists of 10 faculties. These are 10 characteristical traits and attributes that every single soul possesses. And this actually makes up and creates the persona, the personality, and the character of the soul. And he continues, Kineged Eser Sviris Al Yonis Nishtar Shalomah. These 10 faculties of the soul correspond to the 10 supernal spheres, the 10 supernal spheres, divine manifestations, shenishtal shalu mehen, because these 10 faculties in the human soul evolved from the 10 supernal characteristics and faculties, the 10 spheres, as they are called here. This is specifically 10 faculties corresponding and evolving from the 10 divine faculties, from the 10 divine spheres. More generally, he continues, Anachlakos lishtayim. The 10 spheres are divided into two general categories. Shehein, these two categories are defined in the literature of Kabbalah as being Shalosh Imais, Visheva Kfulais, three mothers and seven doubles. I will explain the meaning in this phrase in a moment. So we have 10 spheres divided into two categories, three mothers and seven doubles. And he goes on to enumerate, one moment, Pirush, this means Chachma Bina Das. Namely, we have the first three supernal spheres are Chachma, Bina and Das, conception, comprehension, and application, Veshivas Yimei HaBinyan, and the 7 days of creation, Chesed, attraction, Gvura, rejection, Tiferes, integration, Chulu, etc., the other 4 spheres that follow these first 3 of Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. So over here we have in the 10 supernal spheres a division of the first 3 mothers, intellectual faculties, conception, comprehension, and application, followed by another 7 faculties that he terms the 7 days of creation, attraction, rejection, integration, etc., another 4 spheres. V'kach b'nefesh ha'adam. And just as the 10 supernal spheres are divided into 2 general categories, the same is true with the human soul, shenechlekes l'shtayim, that the 10 faculties of the human soul are divided into 2 general categories. Seichel umidos. Seichel is the cognitive intellectual dimension of the faculties of the soul, and midos are the emotional, passionate experiences of the soul. Seichel and midos are the 2 general categories in the persona of this soul. Yeah? Why in Dr. Mendel's translation, are you asking, does he say subdivided? Why did I say divided? It's a good question, and I'll tell you. The reason why he says subdivided is, why do you think he says subdivided? You know what subdivided means? Okay. The reason I use the word divided, not subdivided, is because I wanted to emphasize the fact that when you say that the soul has 10 faculties, so that is already a division in a more detailed and specific manner. But a general division would be to say that the soul has 2 aspects to its personality, and that is the seichel dynamic and the midas dynamic. That's why I use the word divided. You're asking if the seichel and midos are on the same level. They are not on the same level. Totally not. And I will soon explain more elaborative their content, function, and manner of expression. Yeah. These characteristics of the soul, do they have reflection in a person's personality traits? Not only do they have reflection in a person's personality traits, but they are the source and origin of the person's personality traits, but again, I will soon explain it in a more elaborative manner. Let's continue over here, insight. Haseichel, the first category of the faculties of the soul defined as seichel, the category of intellect, koilel chachma bina vadas, includes the 3 all-inclusive intellectual powers, termed Chachma, Bina, and Das. Again, conception, comprehension, and application. Vahamidais, while the midais, the emotional faculties of the soul, Hain, they are, first of all, Ahavas Hashem, the love of Hashem, Pachadoi, V'yirasai, the dread and the awe of Hashem, Ulefaroi, the glorification of Him, Chulu, and so on, the other faculties that are included in the realm of midos. And he continues, v'chachma binadas, v'chabad, chabad being the acronym of chachma binadas, nikru imois u'makir l'midos. Chabad are called the mothers and source of the midos. Why? Ki hamidos hain tuldus chabad. For the midos are the offspring. In other words, they are derived from Chachma Bin Adas. So therefore, the three faculties of Chachma Bin Adas are defined as the mothers and the origin of the Midas, because the Midas, the emotional faculties, are an offspring. They are born, so to speak, derived from the faculties of Chabad. Now, before we go further, let me explain what the Alter Rebbe is teaching us in these few lines. Our Chachamim Chazal speak of a fact called 10 Sfirais. What are these 10 Sfirais? What is their source? What is their function? Chazal say that Hashem emanated from Himself, Kevayachel, 10 spheres, 10 modes of expression and characteristics, which became the spiritual building blocks of the entire universe. In other words, every single creature, being, event, phenomenon in existence, in the world at large, in the entire universe, comes and stems from one or from a combination of a few of these 10 spiritual building blocks. Just as an artist, in order to create his piece of art, has to have a few materials through which he creates this piece of art, canvas, pigment, a brush, and so on and so forth. And these are the materials through which this entire piece of art with all its aspects come from. The same is true on a more general level from the divine perspective that Hashem projected from Himself, He emanated what are called 10 character traits, 10 spheres, if you will, 10 spheres. I will refer from now on to the word as spheres. And from these 10 characters, every single aspect without exception of our existence was created. Now, just for a moment, to the source of these 10 spheres. The 10 spheres are extremely central to all Kabbalistic and Hasidic writings. What is the origin of the 10 spheres? The first time we know about the 10 spheres is in Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is the book of creation, and a major portion of the Sefer Yetzirah is based on this doctrine of 10 Sfiras. Regarding the Sefer Yetzirah, by the way, is a Sefer that's mentioned in Gemara, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Samachei Amud Beis, as well as in Yerushalmi, also Masechta Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin Halachi Yud Gimel. Both of these places mention Sefer Yetzirah. As far as the authorship of Sefer Yetzirah, most Rishonim are of the opinion that Sefer Yetzirah was authored by Avraham Avinu. And this includes Rav Haigain, quoted in Rabbeinu Bechaya and Chumash in several places. Rav Saadia Gaon, who actually wrote, as far as we know, the first commentary on Sefer Yetzirah. The Kuzari says it, the Zohar says it, and the Zohar Chadash say it. The Pardes say it, the Raziel says it, and many other sources believe that it was authored by Avraham Avinu. Others disagree and say it was authored by Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the Tanaim, of course, several millennia, 2,000 years after Avraham Avinu. Other, especially modern-day commentators, try to reconcile the two views by saying that Avraham Avinu did not actually write the Sefer Yetzirah. That is evident from several places that he did not actually transcribe the Sefer Yetzirah, but it's possible that the doctrines, the views, the fundamental points of Sefer Yetzirah were conceived and taught and learned by Avraham Avinu, continually learned by the Avos and the Shvatim that followed and following generations, and transcribed actually in the times of the Tanaim, whether through Rabbi Akiva or one of his Talmidim or one of his colleagues. That is regarding the actual Sefer Yetzirah. So a major portion of the Sefer Yetzirah deals with the idea of the Eser Sfiras. In addition to the Sefer Yetzirah, many times in the Zohar, there are made mention of these 10 spheres. So in the Zohar as well, which is one of the most fundamental and oldest texts of Kabbalah, authored by Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his pupils, the Sviras are a very crucial part of it. However, all these sources point out that the actual names and of these 10 Sviras we find appearing in Torah Shebiktav, beginning with the first three faculties of Chachma Bina Das. We had several weeks ago, the Torah defines Bezalel as being blessed with three intellectual faculties. Similar, we have in Mishle, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav, it says, Ki yitain, ki Hashem yitain, Chachma mipiv, Das utvuna. Again, Chachma, Tvuna, and Das. The same say for Mishle, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yutes. We actually have these three aspects in connection to Hashem. Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz, kainain shamayim b'tvuna, b'da'as tahaymais nifku. These are the three intellectual faculties: conception, comprehension, application. Now we find David HaMelech praising Hashem in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Chavtes Pasuk Yud Aleph with the seven emotional faculties. L'cha Hashem, Hagdula, Vahagvura, Vahatif'eres, Vahanetzach, Vahahoit, Ki choyl bashamayim uva'aretz, L'cha Hashem, Hamamlocha. What are the seven intellectual faculties? The Tanya over here enumerates three. At chesed, gvura, tif'eres. Then we have the other four, which although he does not enumerate them over here in Tanya, the reason for that we will discuss later on or in the following shiur. But they are, as discussed in the Zayin, and Sefer Yetzirah, and all the places where the Sviras are discussed. After Tiferes, we have Netzach, Hoid, Yisoid, and Malchus. Their translation, Chesed, attraction, Gvura, rejection, Tiferes, integration, Netzach, endurance, Hoid, devotion, Yisoid, bonding, Malchus, royalty. In this Pasuk, although the Pasuk does not mention Chesed or Yisoid by their specific names, the concept of each of them is clearly there. Because the word Gdula, L'cha Hashem Gdula, often represents Chesed, attraction. Even in English, we speak of largesse with regard to extravagant generosity. So we see the connection between the idea of Gdula and Chesed. We also find that in the Shemayna Esri prayer, the word Gadol is placed as a partner to the word Gibar, when we say Hakel, Hagadol, VaHagibur. The same is true regarding the concept of Yisoid, which means bonding, because it is that capacity which connects Shamayim to Aretz. So when David HaMelech speaks about Ki Chol BaShamayim UvaAretz, he is actually denoting the faculty of Yisoid. Furthermore, it's interesting to know that the numerical value, the gematria of the words Ki Chol, from the sentence Kikol Bashamayim of Aretz, is the same as the word Yisoid. The numerical value of both is 80. However, it should also be mentioned, interestingly, that the idea of Ases Sviras is mentioned beferish in the Medrash, in Bamidbar Rabba, in Perek Yudalit, Parsha Yudbeis, Zag the Medrash, that the reason that in the Nesiim, the leaders of the 12 Shvatim brought their offerings for the dedication of the Mishkan, beginning Rish Chodesh Nisan, continuing for 12 and then 13 days. So one of the karbanos was a kaf achas asarazav malayik teris. They brought one spoon, which was the weight of 10 shkalim of gold. So the Medrash enumerates the significance of number 10, and immediately in the beginning the Medrash says, this is Kineged Asarim Amarim Shabam Nivra Elam, corresponding to 10 utterances through which Hashem created the world, and Kineged Eser Sviros Blima, Kineged the 10 Sviros of nothingness, which seems to be a direct quote from the Sefer Yetzirah, which immediately in the beginning of Sefer Yetzirah, the first chapter, section 2, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, the Sefer Yetzirah says that Eser Sviros Blima, 10 Sviros of nothingness. We will not discuss at the moment the meaning of nothingness. If it's 10 spheres, how can it be nothing? Nothingness means it doesn't exist. But this actually conveys the essence of the divine character traits, but not at the moment. So this is a brief outline regarding the Esses Sphiris. However, it should be mentioned that even someone who is not a Mekubal or has never studied Kabbalah, it's now incorporated as part and parcel of the Tefillah of Sphiris HaEmer. In the Ribbono Shel Olam following Sphiris HaEmer, we discuss the fact that the 49 days of Sphira, the 49 counting between Pesach and Shavuos, correspond to the 7 emotional faculties, each one consisting and including and encompassing all 7. Thus, 7 times 7 makes up the 49 days of Sphiris HaEmer. In the Ribbono Shel Olam following the actual counting, each of the 49 nights is represented by a subsection of one of the emotional 7 spheres. And in this prayer, actually, in this tefillah, we ask that if there was any inappropriate impression in any of these spheres in the manner we have dealt with it, it should be rectified and purified in the utmost and superb manner. Parenthetically, it would be worthy to mention, since we're discussing it, that the 10 spheres are mentioned as well in other places, beginning with the Kuzari, written by Rabbi Yehuda Alevi in the 11th century, one of the greatest Rishonim, Kuzari Maimer Dalet Perek Chafhei. It's mentioned in Rabbeinu Bechaya, in his commentary on the Torah, several times in Bereshis Perek Aleph, in Shmois. The Maharal also makes mention of it in Gvuris Hashem, in Derech Chaim, and often in the works of the Shalah, Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz, in the Shnei Luchei Sabris, in addition to the fact, as I mentioned, that Zayar makes a lot of mention to it every Friday. We say Pasach Eliyahu, a section of Tikkunei, the introduction to Tikkunei Zayar, which is a section of the Zayar, and over there the Zayar actually discusses them in a quite elaborative and lucid manner. Now, yeah. I translated Netzach as endurance. Okay, you're asking a question. I translated Netzach as endurance, and you have seen it translated as victory. I translated Chesed as attraction and Gvura as rejection, and you have seen it translated Chesed as kindness and Gvura as contraction. Okay, each one of the spheres, the Hebrew terms and definitions of them contain a lot in them. In other words, every single one of the spheres has a many of facets, aspects, dynamics, modes of expression. Thus, in different English translations of the spheres, you'll find different authors translating it in different manners, and they might all be correct, each one just articulating and conveying one facet of this specific sphere. In the English language, it's quite difficult to find one word to translate all the spheres in English, a word which will convey and express the total idea and dynamic of the sphera. Nevertheless, I felt that as close as we could get to a word that should encompass all facets of the sphera, the better it would be. Thus, regarding chachma, I didn't translate it wisdom, bina, understanding, das, knowledge, but rather conception, comprehension, and application, because I feel that those three words will convey in a much more general manner the essence of them. The same is true chesed. Chesed, if you translate it as kindness, it's accurate. Translate it as benevolence, it's accurate. If you translate it as love, it's also accurate. If you translate it as giving, it's also accurate, because chesed encompasses all of this. I felt, what could be a word that can be the most general and all-encompassing of all of this is the word attraction. The same is, an attraction encompasses all these aspects. It's the ability, the faculty in the human being to be attracted by other human beings, by other creatures, by phenomena, by events. The same is true regarding Gvura and Netzach. Netzach, victory, is a total accurate translation. Indeed, I think the literal translation of the word Netzach in the most literal sense would be victory, Nitzachain. But nevertheless, endurance denotes, from a certain perspective, the essence of what Netzach introduces into the human character. But it was a very good comment. At the moment, I am not going to discuss every single one of these faculties. We will be doing it in connection to this period, but not at the moment. Yeah. If I am familiar of a book that goes in a lucid manner to make sense out of the ten spheres, I could mention two of them. I'll mention them to you after the shiur. Now we get back to the actual issue of the ten spheres. So Chazal tell us that Hashem projected from Himself 10 faculties, 10, so to speak, modes of character and personality traits. And these became the building blocks of every single thing in the universe. To drive it more closely to home, let's compare it to the human being. Every single human being throughout his day, his month, his year, his life, possesses and produces millions and billions of thoughts, of words, of deeds, of motives, of instincts, of drives, of desires. But all these millions and billions and trillions of modes of behavior and conduct on all levels of his personality stem from the general personality and character traits that mold and define the personality of this human being. Since you possess this and this specific character trait, hence you say the following thousand, million, billion words. So all the variety and fluctuations and aspects of the human life and personality and expression of them come from the general personality traits. This is a metaphor how Hashem, so to speak, created the world, that from 10 spiritual building blocks, from 10 traits, from 10 characters, every single phenomenon, event, creature, with all its detail and manifestation and aspects and dynamics, every aspect of it stems from these 10 spheres. These are 10 general modes which Hashem chose to emanate and to project in order to create and form, sustain and relate to the universe and everything contained with it. The human being was created in the image of Hashem. B'tzelem Elokim asa es ha'adam. Nasa Adam b'tzalmeinu kidmuseinu. One of the interpretations in these psukim is that just as Hashem projected from Himself 10 characters through which He chose to form, sustain, and relate to the universe, the same is true regarding every individual human being, which is defined by Chazal as a miniature universe. Olam katan zeha adam, says Medrash Tanchuma, every human being is a little miniature universe. Every single human being possesses within his soul 10 character traits, 10 faculties, 10 attributes, 10 energies, 10 modes of expression and manifestation. 10 dynamics, 10 openings through which the soul expresses, manifests, and reveals itself. These 10 character traits are the origin and the focal center and source of the entire variety of the person's behavior and conduct. All the variety of thoughts, words, deeds, and then motives, instincts, desires, talents and gifts of the person, all of them, every single one of them, stem from either one or a combination of a few of these 10 faculties. Now, everyone without exception possesses all of these 10 faculties. The question is, in what manner, in what fashion, their manner of combination with each other, how they interrelate and work and function with each other, which one is more emphasized, which one is more strong, but everyone possesses all of them. This is what Alter Rebbe begins the Perek. That the divine soul possesses and consists of 10 faculties, corresponding to the 10 supernal spheres, but evolving from the 10 supernal spheres. Hashem projected from Himself 10 spheres. This usually begins in the world, in the realm called Atzilus, the world of emanation discussed previous weeks, which is the first world in the stage of spiritual evolution from the spiritual to the physical. So the 10 spheres are where the origin of the entire universe begins, in these 10 character traits. When you talk about, for example, Earth in our universe, when you talk about femaleness in our universe, they are physical phenomena, but they stem and they evolve in some way from the divine attribute of Malchus, royalty, aristocracy. When you talk about water in the universe, you talk about the color blue in the universe, they evolve from the divine attribute of chesed, of attraction, of giving, of bestowal. And the same is true regarding every single phenomenon of the universe. The animal soul of the Jew also possesses these 10 faculties. Every human being's soul possesses these 10 faculties. But over here in Perek Gimel, we are addressing the divine soul of the Jew. The divine soul of the Jew is a soul which is a chelek alekamim ma'al mamish and stems from chachmasa yizbarach, from the divine wisdom, which is the first and highest supreme faculty of the spheres in this context. More specifically, there are other spheres, we're not going to get into that at the moment. Generally, we're dealing with these 10 spheres. Chachma is the first of these spheres. The soul of the Jew, which comes from Chachma, is evolved from the 10 supernal spheres, beginning with Chachma, and then the 9 following spheres. And thus the soul possesses these 10 faculties as well, mirroring and reflecting the 10 divine spheres. And Alter Rebbe goes on to say that they are divided into 2. 3 mothers and 7 doubles. This phrase, Shalish Imais v'Sheva Kvulais, is a direct quote from Sefer Yetzirah, which is the source of the concept of Esses Spheres. The Sefer Yetzirah in the beginning, chapter 1, section 2, reads, Esses Spheres Blima, 10 Spheres of Nothingness. I mentioned the Medrash quotes this term. Ve'esrimushtayim oisius yusayit. And 22 foundation letters. Shalosh imais, 3 mothers. Shevakfulei, 7 doubles. Ushtayim esre pshutais. And 12 elementals. The Sefer Yetzirah over here divides the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet of the Aleph Beis into 3 categories. 3 mothers, 7 doubles, and 12 elementals. The 3 mothers refer to the 3 letters Aleph, Mem, and Shin, Emesh. The reason for this is, these are the primary letters of the Aleph Beis, thus they are called mothers. Why these 3? Apparently Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis, Mem is the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, Shin is the second to the last letter. Why not the last letter, Tav? We'll soon see, because Tav is already used for another category, for one of the 7 doubles, so we cannot use the Tav for the 3 mothers. So the Tav, it shifts its position, it delegates its power, its energy, to the preceding one, so the Shin becomes the 3rd letter of these 3 mothers. The fact that these 3 letters are the elemental letters we already have in Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei, Chai Samay Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emes. Mefarshim explain, Emes, Aleph, the first letter, Mem, the middle letter, Sof, the final letter, but in Sefer Yetzirah, the 3 mothers become Aleph, Mem, and Shin. Then you have the 7 doubles, Sheva Kfulis. These are the 7 letters that can be expressed in 2 sounds. Beis, number 1, Gimel, number 2, Dalet, number 3, Chaf, number 4, Pei number 5, Reish number 6, and Tuf number 7. Before I go back to this, let me conclude. The 12 elementals, the Shtei Maaseh Pshutis, are the 12 remaining letters, which have a single sound. This is what the Sefer Yetzirah makes mention of immediately in the beginning. The later chapters of Sefer Yetzirah go on to explain in great detail, devoting a complete perek for every one of these three categories. A complete perek for the Shalish Imois and their significance, a complete perek for the Sheva Kfulis and their significance, and an entire perek for the Shteim Esrei Pshutis, the 12 elementals, and their significance. If we open up Sefer Yetzirah Perek Dalet, the beginning of Perek Dalet, it reads as follows. Sheva Kfulis, there are seven doubles. Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Chav, Pei, Reish, Sof. Misna HaGoyz B'Shtei L'Shoynes. They direct themselves with two tongues. Beis, Veis. Gimel, Gimel. Dalet, Dalet. Chav, Kaf. Pei, Fei. Reish, Reish. Tuf, Sof. Tavnis, Rach, V'Kasha, Gibor V'Chalash. A structure of soft and hard, strong and weak. So you were all looking at me when I was doing those letters. Where is there a double sound in those two letters? One moment. The idea of why these are called kfulos doubles is because they all have two possible sounds. All of them have possible sounds. Rach v'kasha, soft and hard, or gibor v'chalash, strong and weak. To the ones, those who are familiar with diktuk of the Hebrew language, they are also known as dagesh and rafe. Dagesh means emphasized, strong, a strong sound, and rafe means not so emphasized, a soft sound. Now, there are double sounds in these seven letters that are retained by all Jews all over the world. Over here you have the beis, beis veis, you have the kaf, kaf and chaf, and you have the pei and the fei. In all these cases, the hard sound is plosive, pronounced in an explosive puff of sound. The soft sound is what's known in English as fricative. Those are the consonants that are characterized by the friction of the breath issuing through a narrow opening of the vocal passages. For example, letters like F or V or S or Z are examples of the fricative mode of expression. This is not the dagesh, but the rafe. Now, regarding the tuf and the saf already, this is not retained by all Jews. Over here we have the difference between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. So the Ashkenazim always do the tuf and the saf, and by the Sfardim, it also depends what Sfardim, sometimes there's no distinction at all, the saf is also a tuf, and by some Sfardim, the difference between the tuf and the saf would be as in that thing, the th of thing, that's how they would pronounce the saf.